I really count as a privilege and joy to be able to come and share the Word of God with you here. And as I always say, you know, English is not my first language, so I know there is a lot for me to learn and a lack of right pronunciation. So if you ever don't understand a word, I encourage you to immediately pray for me. It's my fault. It's my fault. If I don't communicate an idea appropriately, you pray for me. It's my fault. So thank you, Pastor, and thank you, the elders, for extending me this invitation. It's always a joy for me to see you, to be among you. It's a great blessing for my soul to be part of this church and even to share the Word of God with you. I wish we can have more of these combined services. And probably next time we'll have some Spanish singing here too, and you will be able to practice your Spanish somehow. I ask you to pray with me. Let us pray and seek the help of our Lord and Father. Heavenly Father, we tremble when we come to your word, and we are so weak. And we need your help, your grace, your spirit, to preach and to hear the word appropriately. Come with the fresh anointing of your spirit upon your servant, but also upon your people, that Christ may be exalted here today. We pray in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinthians, he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despair of life itself." It's like the apostle came to a point in which he said, "Lord, I can't no more. I don't have a strength in me. The affliction is so huge." So there's a time in which true children of God see themselves under such a heavy, heavy, dark providence that they really think this is it. The apostle himself, as a missionary, suffered in many ways. Writing to the same church, he says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death of the Jews 5 times receive I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." And so on, he continued mentioning affliction after affliction after affliction, like if a punishment was upon his life. And we have to wonder why a man who is serving God, the Almighty God, with a clean conscience, suffers so much. And I think that the question applies to each one of us. If I walk with a clean conscience, serving my Lord, why are we going through certain trials? Why is it? I think the question, we have to address that. And we need to do that with the Word of God. Regarding the source of suffering in the life of people, specifically believers, someone has put together a number of sources. I just want to mention some of them. One, they say, is Satan the source of human suffering up to a certain point? Yes, the Bible says that. Is suffering itself self-inflicted? Yes, the Word of God also says that. Is suffering the fault of others? Yes, the Word of God also teach that. Is suffering the result of fate? also, here is a main reason I believe, and I beg you to bear with me to the end. All right? Please. Is God the source of human suffering? Let's hear what the Word of God says. God is the efficient cause of all things, but not the blameworthy cause of evil. Is suffering evil? To permit suffering is not to take pleasure in it. Is suffering the result of God's punishment or retribution? The Bible teaches that too. Is suffering the will of God? Does He orchestrate suffering? The Bible teaches that. Just to give you a couple of examples. Job 2:10. Shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity? Jeremiah 32:42. I brought all this calamity on these people. Amos 3:6. If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? 1 Peter 3:17. If God should will it so that you suffer for doing right. 1 Peter 4:19. Those who suffer according to the will of God. And I think we must really face the question, why true children of God suffer so much many times. And now I invite you to open your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. And I will be reading now from the ESV version. And I'm sorry for those who prefer the King James. And in order to make them feel better, I will quote King James along the sermon. So I hope to be in peace with everyone around here. Okay. Now, Proverbs 20, 24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Let me read it again. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? The book of Proverbs, it's called the book of the wisdom of God. Although that wisdom is displayed through all the Bible, obviously. But the purpose of the book is to know wisdom and instruction according to Proverbs chapter 1. James chapter 1. Which is for many the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in the New Testament, also put together the need of wisdom when we are going through suffering. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. That is in the context of suffering. Because when we suffer under the providence of God, and we put in together Proverbs 20:24. The Lord ordained my steps, my life. I am suffering. I need to ask God to give me wisdom to understand what is He doing, since He's the one who ordained my steps. Now, King James Version say, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? And what we see in this verse, at least for our purpose, is first, a revelation from God. Secondly, a mystery. And thirdly, a comfort. I just want to open the Word of God with those three headings with the help of His Spirit. Let's see a revelation. God has revealed Himself basically by two means. First, the general revelation, which is His creation. And also the special revelation, which is His Word. Some say that the Lord Jesus Christ is always, it's also a way through God, by which God reveals himself. And that falls under special revelation. So the Word of God is the special revelation of God. But also we know the will of God, not only by the written word, but also by the providence of God, by which his purpose, eternal purpose, is fulfilled through the time. For example, I praise God and I celebrate that on September 3rd, 1983, I marry my beautiful wife. Now, if you look carefully in the Bible, you will never find that Jose and Mayra will marry on September the 3rd, 1983. But we know, since that happened, that was the decreed will of God for my life and my wife's life. Are you agree with that? Well, I hope you are. 34 years of marriage. All right? So the will of God is known through his word, but also through his providence, where his secret, decreed will that he only knows comes to happen through the providence in a daily living. Is that clear enough? So, going back to our text, I just want to lead you again to Proverbs 20:24. This is what it says. A man's steps are from the Lord. Man's goings literally mean a stepping of a strong man. But the second part of the verse that says a man, talk about any common man. So basically the text include those who are strong, known, powerful, but also those who are weak. And the message of this text, clearly God is revealing through his word that the life of every man is referred as a steps and way. And that is ordained by God. So we have a combination here. The special revelation telling something about the secret revelation. Many times the Word of God referred to our life as a way. For example, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks no in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So our life, many times in the scriptures, is referred as a way. As a way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So when the Bible says a man's step is talking about our life, our way, things that happens in our life, the course of our life is in the hand of God, are his. Matthew Poole, the commentator, put it this way. They, our steps, are ordered and ruled by the wise and powerful providence of God to carry out his own counsel and good pleasure, and not what the man planned to or tried to do. We find this truth also in other portion of the scriptures. I just want to quote them to you. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 1. And I just want you to go with your Bible there, because we got three affirmations here. I just want to share with you carefully that covers, in my understanding, the entire life of men. Proverbs 16:1. The plans of the heart belongs to man, but listen, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the words that come from out of our mouth are from the Lord. Verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now words and now thinking. Verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So if you see, the Bible says that our thinking, our words, and our deeds are ordained by our God. Obviously, you may be thinking, what about human responsibility? And that thinking is right. I was about to say that precisely. We are responsible. And this is like two lines going side by side. God's sovereign will and men's responsibility here. As you remember, Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things are the Lord, but those reveals are ours. My responsibility is to fulfill my duty, obey God's word, but the rest is in God's hand. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but listen, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Jeremiah 10:23. Pay attention to this one. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. That is not in man who walk to direct his steps. I mean, our Lord, our God reigns in the universe, complete universe, including our life. In him we live and move and have our being. Daniel 5:23 says, God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways. Now, what this text is teaching us, is revealing us that our steps, our life, are led, ordained by our God. I hope that you really believe that. Otherwise, you will have problem with other texts of the scriptures, like Romans 8:28. We know what? Yes, for good. How could it be that everything works together for good? Because God is the one ordaining, leading everything that comes to happen in our life. That is clear in the text. Let's go back to Proverbs 20:24 though. Proverbs 20:24. I want to see with you now a mystery in the text. A man's steps are from the Lord. We know that. Now, how then can man understand his way? The word understand is perceive. How can man then understand? A mystery refers to God's secret, his counsels and purposes, which are not known to man apart from his special revelation in the scriptures or his prophets. So we have here a question that can be answered in two different manners, two different ways. First, if God is the one who ordained my life, second part of the verse says, how then can man understand his way? Then he should ask the one who is ordaining his life, ask God. But it can be understood in a different way too. How then can man understand his way? No possible way. Because this is God who is ordaining my steps. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. I want to stick to that one now, from now on. So, we can't understand many things that comes to happen in our life because God is the one ordaining them. It do not depend if I do it right or I do it wrong. I don't choose many things that comes to happen in my life. It is God who is leading everything that happens in my life. And I must understand that. And at the end, understand that I can't understand. That makes sense? And that's a lot, I tell you. That's a lot. I know and I understand that I can't understand God. Barnes' commentary says, the order of man's life is a mystery even to himself. He knows not where he is going or what God is educating him. When I was spending my days in the Dominican Republic, and somebody talked to me about coming to live in the United States, all my family came to live here, my mother, my father, my brothers, sisters, and I just said, you know what? That's not a place for me to go and live. I can go and visit there, enjoy the snow, and then come back. But that was the plan of God for me. And then I said also, well, if I ever come to live in the United States, it will never be Lawrence, Massachusetts. And that's exactly where I came. And after that, I'm honest with this. Somebody talked to me about Chicago, and I said, Chicago? No way. That's like Al Capone and things like that, you know. No, it's not for me. I am here 7 years now. So I don't know what God has in store for me tomorrow, nor this afternoon. And that's part of the mystery, that we don't know what is coming next because God is the one ordaining. We can make plans. We should have plans. But at the end, it's His will what will be finally coming to happen. When we come down to suffering in the life of righteous men, we can't understand why we suffer. Have I done something to deserve this? I don't see anything. But it happens. Let's see a couple of examples. I just want to begin this by the end. Have you been tempted to open a book by the end and see how it ended up? And if it ends good, okay, let me read it. If not, no. So let's begin Joseph's history by the end. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, we see Joseph talking to his brothers. Brothers, I didn't ask about the time. You finished by 12, right? But that clock say 5 o'clock, so I'm confused. Quarter to... What? Which one? Oh, and the biggest... Oh, okay. Pastor Tiberi, you should let me with the wrong one so I can have an excuse. Okay. All right. Okay, let me try to do it as fast as possible. Joseph said to his brothers these words, verse 19, Genesis chapter 50. Do not fear, for I am in the place of God, he's asking when they came begging for mercy. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So that's what he says at the end of the story. But if we go back for a little bit, then we have to think and put this in perspective. His brothers sold him as a slave. I was in Haiti in April, and I had the privilege to spend some time with slave children. Children of 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years, whose parents sell them to a rich man or man who has more money than them. And the man purchased those children in order to allow his own children to go to school while these children work in the house as a slave. But the worst are the girls, because they are sold for sexual purposes. Beautiful small girls. When I went to that place, Have you seen how ants come to honey? So those came like dozens of them trying to reach me and get a hug from me. Because they don't have a father who gives them a hug. Not a mother who gives them a hug. A kiss, or it at least touch them in the head. They don't know what is it. So putting that together with Joseph, his brothers put him in a situation separated from his loving father. Brothers, and he was in a foreign country. He was struggling with the language, as I struggle with English here. He was struggling with the memories, and he ended up being a servant in a house, and then a woman comes and say a lie against him, and he's accused of sexual predator or abuser. And all of a sudden, he's back in prison. Now, put yourself in Joseph's mind. How do you think he could see his life as a slave in a foreign land? I mean, it's not something that he say, amen, because Romans 8:28. No, wait a minute. My life is a mess right now. And I'm in the middle of an intense pain. I don't understand what you're doing, my God. Why? What have I done to deserve this? Yeah, I may say that the Lord was pleased in humble, broke, and ruined Joseph's life for a season according to his perspective. Yes. But at the end, he knew, as he said, am I in the place of God? The whole affair was conducted by the counsel of God and not by his own. When he named his children, he tells you about what was in his heart while living in Egypt. Manasseh and Ephraim. He was made to forget his misery. He was made fruitful in the land of his affliction. When you put those two words together, Joseph was in misery and affliction. That was his daily bread in Egypt. Yes. But let me think about somebody else. What about Naomi? Remember the story? At the end of the book, let's begin again by the end, all right? So you don't feel discouraged. Ruth chapter 4, this is how the story ends. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Finally, she was taking care of the grandfather of David, the seed of the Christ. That's the end of the story. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but let's backward a little bit. She moved to a foreign country with her husband, two beautiful sons, which they enjoy. All of the sudden, the husband passed and died. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. That's chapter 1, verse 3. And a couple of verses after that, although it says 10 years, both Malon and Chilion died. Finally, she was by herself in a foreign land. Now, do you think that she ever thought, but who knows if I ever take care of the grandfather of David? Do you think she thought like that when she was struggling and crying? Absolutely not. Probably she was struggling. Why? Why all this is coming to my life? Why am I suffering? I'm a widow now, and I have no child who take care of me. Why? My life is ruined. Pastor, you don't think you're maybe going too far? Absolutely not. Listen to her when she gets back home. The Bible says that she and Ruth went back, and when people saw her, the question was, is that
Naomi?
And she said, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? I think her theology was right, but her emotions were not right. There were a divorce between the theology, what she understood, and the way she felt. Have you ever seen yourself in that position? I understand this is going to be for good. The Lord is leading everything for His glory, for my well-being, for my prosperity in Christ. But I don't like it. I hate it. It ruined my life, changed my plan. This is not what I dreamed. This is not what I have been praying for over years. I know He will change that for good. In the meantime, there is a divorce. There is a conflict inside my heart. David, you know the story. When he was walking humble, and that man cursed him, David said clearly, the Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son, was the man saying to David. So your evil is on you. You are a man of blood. And this is the answer David gave at the end. If he's cursing, it is because the Lord has said to him, curse David. So finally, David knew that whatever was happening in his life was under the ruling, the counsel, the sovereign will of his father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2:22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And the same is repeated basically in Acts 4:27-28. Who was ordaining the steps of these people? Our Lord Jesus Christ, God. Job, God. Naomi, God. David, God. And you? Who is ordaining your steps? That sounds kind of timid. Who is ordaining your steps since you were born? Will you share that with the person next to you? God is ordaining, has been ordaining my steps. Say it to the person next to you. You really mean it? Again, you really mean it? Okay. Because I'm totally convinced of that. In light of that, we have seen a revelation, a mystery. We can understand many things, specifically regarding suffering. Why do the righteous men, women, believers, faithful believers, afflictions come to their life? Why? We don't understand, but we know it's the plan of God. It's under God's sovereignty will. But there is a comfort here, and this is my last point here. Let's go back to our text in Proverbs 20:24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? No, we can't. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? No, I can't understand even my own way. We don't understand our way. But listen, church, but we understand and we know the one who is ruling and leading my steps. And that's our comfort. That exactly is our comfort here. Sometimes we think that my life is a mess. Honestly, it sometimes it even looks like a chaos. I don't know what's going on here. Why? And even you come to your pastor, tell me why. And the answer is going to be, I don't know why. Nobody knows. It's God who is ordaining everything. We can't understand his mind, his purpose completely. And we have three observations here. First, we know who is ordaining everything. Our God, our good Father, Heavenly Father, sovereign, good, loving Father. He has loved us with eternal love. Secondly, we know that what our God does is ordained and has an order. Listen, the Lord has ordered our steps. Third, we understand that this is something that happens little by little. That's why I say it's steps, steps. And I like the plural, steps, which mean some of them are firm, some of them are stumble. Is that right or not? And who ordained the firm steps? I can't hear you. And who ordained the step where we stumble? The previous time I came to preach here, I don't know if you remember, I stumble. Do you remember that? Well, I hope you remember some other things too. But let me tell you, who ordained that I stumbled when I was coming to the pulpit last time? It was not Pastor Matt, for sure. It was not one of the elders. And I took it this way. I took it this way, my heart. It's good to be humble before you preach the word of God. So I could fail right there, and that would be great, I think. But you know what? He just ordained that so I can come to the pulpit, not in my strength, but his strength. Same happened with you in every step of your way. And I like the plural. You know why? Because God is developing our life one step at a time. When you marry, he did not give you a handbook and say, okay, this is your life. Now read it every day. Do not go forward. Just read it every day. Thanks God he didn't do that. That would be a torture. Every day, or if you knew beforehand, you know, in such a day, one of my sick is going to die or be sick or something's going to happen. No, no, no. He do it little by little in his wisdom and love for us. In addition to that, we can see also that there is an end. Yes, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. It's good that I can understand many things today that I couldn't understand in the past. And when I get to heaven, I will be able to praise him forever, because I will be able to understand probably everything. Let's share some words of application here. First, we don't understand our own life, but what can we do? Well, we can pray. Actually, we should pray more. As David in Psalm 25, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth. Psalm 143:8. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Or to pray as the Lord teaches to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because he's the one leading our steps. And then you say, Lord, lead me not into temptations. We should pray. And I will tell you this. And please bear with me. Sometimes we should pray and be very honest with our God and Heavenly Father. Father, this season of my life is too much for my soul. The pain I'm going through is too heavy for me. Lord, those who don't know you are talking against me. I'm in shame. Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what are you doing? Where are we heading? Lord, I'm very disappointed because I trusted my life to you. This is what I find in my way. You have ordained every step. I know that. Nothing is out of your will. So why am I going through this? Why I am a person in shame now? Why? You may be surprised, but this is our Lord praying. Listen to him. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. And then he went out to pray. My Father, listen to this. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If you put it in another way, this is what he says. What you want is not what I want right now. So we can pray like that and say, Lord, I don't want this situation in my life. I don't want this. Why are you ordering my steps through this path? Or remember when he was hanging at the cross, he clearly said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt like that? It's like everything I have prayed, done, is worthless. So why? 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 Yes, we must pray. We must open our heart to the God who knows everything in our heart. But at the same time, we must pray, being obedient to his word, trusting in the Lord with all your heart, as the Bible says. Yes, yes. Now, when I was invited to preach today, I was told to preach a mission sermon. I don't know if you remember that. So is there any connection between this and mission? Absolutely, yes. How is it? I will tell you. This is a man that I really has come to admire, C.S. Lewis. Lewis had tasted pain in ways that few can relate to. He lost his mother at an early age, saw his dad emotionally abandon him, suffered from a respiratory illness as a teenager, fought and was wounded in World War I, and finally had to bury his beloved wife. And this is what he wrote. Listen. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispered to us in our pleasures, speak in our conscience, but shout in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a death world. If you suffer here, what do you think about missionaries overseas? In a different culture, different language, different food, different people, different holidays. Even more. But this is how our God works. He loves to use our suffering as a precious opportunity to reveal himself, that the gospel may be preached and Christ may be known. That's why we suffer. Because when we suffer, people see what's going on next, what's going to happen next. And then we have a precious opportunity under the influence of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, to testify of the love of Christ, the power of Christ, the reality of our God, and the joy we have in every circumstances. Yes. I think that our suffering are ordained by our God in order to display who he is. And before I continue, I just have a couple more minutes, and this is only 20 after 5, so a couple more minutes and I will be done. I just want to introduce you, Daniel Ricci, and then I will share with you a couple words about him. Daniel Ricci, are we ready? Good.
Rolling. Father God, we thank you so much for this time. God, I just pray in these next few moments that, Father, you would speak to our hearts, that your word would pierce into who we are, that you would mold us and shape us, that you would, God, just encourage us and strengthen us through the power of your word. And God, may we see it as that, your word, not man's word, but yours. God, just move in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know,
I was born without arms. That is the best way to summarize my story, he says. I stepped into suffering at birth. My physical body is a billboard for my pain. This has brought mocking, cruel jokes, stares, and the constant feeling that I am not like anyone else that I meet. And in his suffering, God used him to preach Christ. And I praise God for our missionaries, our brothers here. Rosa Maria shared with us and her husband last week, and it was a joy, and then they shared with you today. But when the Moroccan government prohibited her and Bill to enter the country, she was overcome with grief. And she cried every day for at least 5 years. Every day. Even today, she's still weeping over that injustice. So they suffer to preach Christ in a way that we don't understand. So why don't we always, in the midst of our suffering, pray for those who are overseas suffering even more to proclaim and announce Christ? Your suffering are in the hands of God. And when your life is hard, Christ should be announced. The last 15 years of my life has been a challenge. I don't want to say much now, but I came to live to this country and struggled so much over and over and over. As you all know, by the end of last year, my youngest daughter found cancer in her. And actually, she has an appointment next month to find out if everything is fine. But I have seen through this suffering many opportunities to display the grace and the greatness of our God and to preach Christ. One day we were sitting at the hospital, and she was about to enter to one of the procedure. And one of the nurses came out and said, "Are you the parents of this young girl?" "Yes." And she started talking and started weeping. And crying, she said, "I have been in this hospital for almost 30 years, seeing all kind of patients. And I never broke myself. I just tried to be firm, what I have to do. But when I saw her and I talked to her, I saw something different. And I said, yes, that is Christ, our Savior. That is Christ." And then we had a chance to preach Christ to that woman. But not only her, the surgeon and the nurses, whatever we go there, they're just ready to surround, stand up, and pray. So Christ is preached through this. It's an intense suffering, but we can use our suffering as a megaphone of the greatness, the goodness of God, and to announce Christ. When you feel your life is too hard, run to the Calvary. Run to the cross. God ordained all your steps, even your suffering, to display the grace and the love of Christ. Somebody said, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the gospel. May God bless you all.
Thank you for your patience and love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence knowing that you are God and we need you every step of the way. Sometimes we feel frustrated because we don't understand your ways. We don't understand what you're doing. We don't understand where you're leading our life here. And sometimes we're so puzzled, so confused and frustrated. Forgive us and help us to be content in your will, knowing that every step of our life has been ordained by you, especially suffering, so we can announce of your love, your greatness, and the trust we have in you. In Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen.